chapter 9. And
while you're turning there, I got a couple letters from the jail ministry I'll share with you this evening. Just kind of let you know what the Lord's been doing. This one says, "Thank you for your ministry at Escambia County Jail. I never heard of Escambia until my brother was put there on October 11th. I have been praying for my brother for years that the Lord Jesus would open him up to the gospel. He was never open until October 11th. I don't know if he has accepted Christ as his Savior, but he is reading his Bible, attending Bible studies, and going to church on Wednesdays. We as a family were devastated by the events that took place and the circumstances surrounding it. My wife and I currently attend Tucson Baptist Temple for the past 2 years. We've been growing and enjoying the Word of God. After my brother was put in jail, his children visited him, and I heard he was clutching a Bible and crying. I never thought I would see the day of him being open to God. I shared with him by letter Psalm 142 when David was in the cave. My brother is still in jail and awaiting trial. I've wrote to him, the things on this earth are temporary, but God is eternal. His future on this earth is not promising in this life. He will probably never have his freedom anymore. So our prayer is that he would think on eternity. I have a great appreciation for Seminole Baptist Church." Never met him. "I have a great appreciation for Seminole Baptist Church and your ministry at the jail. And there is sometimes family members praying behind the scenes for their loved one's salvation. My wife and I were even in Pensacola visiting my brother and my mom, who he was taken care of 1 month before his crime in his house, praying fervently for his salvation and for his freedom from alcohol. Even as a sign on the front of his door said, 'Absolutely no solicitation.' I believe this sign has been taken down off of his heart. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:38 and 39. Your brother in Christ, Mark Thompson. That's a blessing. Christian in Arizona, praying for their brother. And he had to go to jail to get right. But thank God he got right. Man, if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you got somebody praying for you, or if you are saved and you're not right with God and you got somebody praying for you, listen, put up the white flag. The sooner you surrender, the better off it'll be. Amen. This one says, "Chuck, I've been doing everything you told me to do, and everything you said was true." I'm having trouble reading some of this, so forgive me. I do see people start to change because the Lord's love is shown in my daily walk. Because of you, I know how to hold a Bible study. Because of you, I have the understanding of why I need to change and what to look forward to now that I have changed. At first, I started with Bible studies, and because of that, people have come to me. Me. They asked me for help. I never ever thought someone would come to me for help or to pray for them. To me, that is a great example of the power of Jesus Christ. That someone like me, a full-fledged sinner, could change into a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Someone who preaches to the weak and helps people stay on the right path. Now, I'm not saying that I'm 100% perfect. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A wise man, a just man falls 7 times. But by God's grace, I rise again. The devil tempts me every day, and there's people in the dorm who really test my faith. I know how to spot the devil and swallow my pride." Romans 8:28 is the verse that really helps me this day. I love and trust God. So what should I worry about? Nothing. Amen. This is a guy in jail. What should I worry about? Nothing. He's got the Lord. The Lord says he knows our works and where we dwell. And he knows Satan is in here. Revelation 2:13, he will protect me from the devil and bless me for all my good works. God is our refuge and strength. Chuck, I can't repay you for what you did for me. The only thing I know to do is become someone like you. I never had a good role model in my life. My dad's a drunk. My brother was a thug wannabe. All I knew was drugs and beer to ease the pain. I never would have known God was a power that is able, that God can give power over and take all the pain out of my heart, I think. You know me, you gave me understanding, and you helped me so much. Thank you. Sincerely, your brother in Christ, Chase. So, just an example of some of the lives that are being affected and touched, and we thank the Lord for that. Amen? Thank God. And now, next 6 weeks or so, the boys' home is going to be on the road, all right? Getting some meetings. Brother Burrell's getting some work done on his RV, things like this. So please be praying for them. The Lord protect them. Give them good meetings. Help them raise some more support for the ministry. All those kind of things for all of our ministries. Just keep praying. We want to see God move and work. And I think it amazes a lot of people when they come to our church and hear that all of our church is doing and involved in. And then they come in and I think they're expecting to see like 1,000 people. Really. And all I know is little as much. When God is in it. Amen. And we thank the Lord for each and every one of you for your desire to serve the Lord. I got a good quote here. It says, men socialize by insulting each other. But they don't really mean it. You know, we rib each other. We get on each all the time. We pick on each other. Amen. But we don't really mean it. Women socialize by complimenting each other. And they don't really mean it either. I thought that was pretty good. Amen. Probably more true than we'd like to admit, but I praise the Lord. There's a fellow just got out of boot camp, went to his first army base. And while he's there, the sergeant comes up to him and says, Private, come over here. I want you to do something. What's your name? He says, Sergeant, my name is John. And he looks at him. He says, Private, when I ask for your name, I expect me to tell you your last name, not your first name. That does not breed good decorum or leadership. And going to breed all kinds of problems here. You're in the military now. We don't go by first names. We go by last names. So, Private, what is your last name? And he says, my last name is Darling. My name is Private John Darling, Sergeant. And the sergeant says, all right, John, come here. I want you to do something. Amen. There's always ways to make an exception. You always got to leave that exception rule in there. All right, Luke chapter 9. And we're picking it up here. Luke chapter 9 and verse 49, Luke chapter 9, verse 49. John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. This is a peculiar passage in Scripture. I always wonder, you see this thing, who was this guy? Doesn't give his name or anything. Just some fellow, and he's out there casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't one of those 12. Who was he? I've heard some say that maybe he was the maniac of Gadara from back there in Luke chapter 8. Or back there in Luke 9 where the father of the boy that was demon-possessed got healed. And maybe he was out there. We don't know. I have no idea who this fella is. All I know is what happens here in this portion of Scripture. John, the apostle, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the one that, if there's any, that are going to be sold out for the Lord, the one that's going to follow him all the way to the cross, the one that's going to have his head at his bosom at the Last Supper, sees some fella out there doing something in the name of Jesus Christ and stops him from doing it because he wouldn't follow them. He rejected us. He couldn't be of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask his blessing on the service. Brother Rusty, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you. What if in the detention center we only allowed those to go in the minister that agreed with me 100%, that were followers of me? I'm preaching a message tonight on rejection. Anybody like to get rejected? You know what happened to these apostles? They were rejected. Here's a guy out there, he's serving Jesus Christ, and they tell him, "Well, hey man, come on with us." "Nah, not interested in following you guys." "Well, then you don't need to be doing this. If you're not going to follow us and go and join our camp, you're not going to be of our stripe, then you don't need to be doing anything for the Lord." That's what's going on. And what did Jesus Christ tell him? "Forbid him not." Is he against us? "Well, no." "Well, if he's not against us, then he's for us." You think the chaplain at the jail agrees doctrinally with everything that Brother Chuck and Brother Nate do? I doubt it. I've met the fellow. He's a nice fellow. But he's got a little bit of that charismatic stuff on him. I can tell that. Amen. But he's gracious enough to let them go in there and minister, even though he doesn't agree 100% with them. Brethren, Sister Brittany, been going out to these churches. You know where she's gotten most of her support and most of her financial help from? Southern Baptist churches. Not the independents. I mean, some of these independent Baptist churches are gotten to the point now, if you can't complete a 50-point checklist and agree with them on every single little thing, they don't want to have anything to do with you. There's only one problem with that. Jesus Christ doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And they haven't realized it. Lord, don't work that way. Now listen, you know me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to teach that book straight, and I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and I'm going to tell you everywhere where everybody else is wrong and we're right. Oh, you think you're right and everybody else is wrong? Yes. And if I think I'm wrong, I want to be right. I want to find out the truth. I want to have all the truth, man. And if somebody's off somewhere, I'll show you where they're off and where you need to be right. But that doesn't mean I hate them. That doesn't mean I'm against them. Man, if they can win somebody to Christ, glory to God, win somebody to Christ. If they can help out somebody, get victory, help them get victory, praise God. You'd be surprised if you actually studied all the missionaries that we support and find out what some of them actually believe. And you support them. Listen, I know this much. If they believe that book's the Word of God, they believe that you're saved by grace through faith and that you can't lose your salvation. Amen. They understand the premillennial, pre-rapture return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity, and you understand? We're good. I can fellowship with them on those things, and if they want to go get people saved, I want to help them get people saved. Even if it's just... Amen. It's okay to go on the right road with anybody. It's never okay to go on the wrong road. Do Roman Catholics, in general, as their church teaches, do they believe that abortion is wrong? Are they right? Sure, they're right. I can agree with them on that. That's about all I can agree with them on. But see, I can get along with them on that. But other than that, no. I'll go on the road with you right there. That our paths will cross right there. That's the only place they'll cross. Because other than that, what they're interested in, like a lot of religion is interested in, they're looking at making their home and improving their home. My home doesn't need any improvement. My home is perfect. My home is wonderful. Say, where's your home? It's in heaven. It's not down here. You see all that stuff? You know where their home is? Down, you know why they're against abortion? You know why they're against this and again? They're trying to fix up their home. Their home's down here. That's why Christians get so involved in politics. Their heart, their affections, their home is here. So they got to make it better. Where's your home? See, that's the great thing about heaven. Listen, if you know you're saved and going to heaven, you don't have to worry about improving your home. It's already as good as it's ever going to be. It's perfect. It's wonderful. We're just waiting to get there. Amen. But I'm just sick and tired of all the camps and the stripes and all that stuff. Now, thank God, the pastor's conference that I went to, they don't really go there. Praise the Lord. They don't get off into that. Their thing is King James Bible. Believe the King James Bible. Amen. And even the pastor there got up and said, listen, if you're a preacher here, and you don't get up in the pulpit and use the King James Bible, and you use something else, he said, that's okay, that's between you and God. But now we're going to show you these things that Sam Gipp has put together and are on the internet. And then he goes and tries to get the truth to those pastors that were there that might not have been straight on that. Amen. Might have helped one of them out so they can help their people. Praise God. Now, I might not fellowship with a lot of these folks unless necessity causes it to happen. You know, I'm not going to fellowship with a Baptist brighter. I'm not going to fellowship with a neo-evangelical or a charismatic. I mean, our fellowship just can't go that far, man. It can't. We can talk about Jesus and a few verses here and there. And after that, that's about it. But I don't consider them my enemies. Do you? How much percent, now think about it, how much percent of Americans do you believe are saved or born again? Huh? Maybe that's what I was thinking, about 10%, probably on a good day. About 10%, right? So right there, your fellowship is knocked down to only 1 out of every 10 people. In the country. Right? Now, how many of those are King James Bible believers? Maybe 1%. Out of that 1%, how many of them believe like us? Maybe 0.01%. And of that percent, how many of them believe just like you? 0.00000000, right? You're going to have grace with people. Jesus Christ had some grace. Those apostles didn't. If you're not going to follow us, if you're not going to do everything our way, forget about you. We're against you. You can't do it. The Lord said, no, don't forbid them. I mean, have you ever thought about this? Baptists as a percentage in America is not that high, but it's actually one of the highest of all the religions. We can call ourselves Baptists and people don't think we're that weird in America. Right? Because there's quite a number of Baptists. But you realize that a large percentage of that is Southern Baptists. Now, the world, they don't know the difference. So guess what? Hey, thank God for the Southern Baptists. They've helped protect and cloak us. Because a lot of the Southern Baptists that are out there, the world sees them and says, oh, well, they're just like us. Amen. We don't want to be just like them. But at least if they're accomplishing nothing else, hey, they're accomplishing that. They do teach people about Jesus. There are people that are going to church instead of going to the bars. That are tithing instead of stealing. That aren't cussing at work and are trying to raise a good family. I mean, I'd rather see them all in church than a lot of other things. I know some of you are uncomfortable with this. That's okay. He's compromising. No, I'm not. Not one bit. Not one bit. How many of you appreciate and thank God for Martin Luther? Baby sprinkler. I mean, our fellowship could only go so far, amen? But I thank God for him. How about John Wesley? Huh? But he would teach you, he would teach most of you in here you weren't saved. Amen. We'll find out one day if he was right. I'm just kidding. Man, you talk about preachers. Listen, I love Spurgeon. I like reading Spurgeon's books. I just like the way he talked and everything. Man, outstanding. Good stuff. He's a Calvinist. He was wrong for being a Calvinist. But that doesn't mean I don't thank God for the things he did right that he accomplished. Are we okay? We used to have this saying when I was in school. It went like this. Take the meat and spit out the bone. You ever eat a good piece of fried fish? But it had a couple bones in it? If you're not careful, you'll choke on those bones now. They'd kill you. But that doesn't mean you have to throw all the meat out. You understand? Take the good and get rid of the rest. Get rid of the garbage. Have some discernment. And have some grace with people. I've been able to convert charismatics to become King James Bible-believing independent Baptists. I didn't do it by beating them up. I did it by a little patience and giving them the book, giving them some truth. Doesn't always work. Wouldn't hurt to try it, though. But the truth of it is, none of us likes rejection. I mean, you know, hey, why don't you come to my church? No, I don't think so. Boy, I'll tell you what, after I got saved, I couldn't wait to tell my family. I knew once I showed them, once I explained the gospel to them, I just knew they'd want to get saved. Man, that was one of the worst days of my entire life. I believe the Lord just allowed that to happen just to get me where it was just me and God. Talk about getting your guts ripped out. When your own mom's laughing at you. And mocking you. and you're crying for them to get saved, and they think you're a nut. Rejection is not easy. But listen, if I had to live my life in such a way so that no one would ever reject me, I'd have to be Joel Osteen, I guess. Right? See, the truth is I have much more grace with most people than they have with me. I don't reject them, they reject me. I think I've asked about 4 people to leave this church since I've been here. But I've had about 400 leave that I didn't ask to leave. Rejected. Bummer. Oh well. They didn't want to follow us. Get them, Lord! No. Maybe the Lord will do something with them somewhere else. Maybe He won't. But I can't let that affect me. I can't allow that to get me bitter or mad at Him. Now look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Every one of us, brethren, listen. Every one of us has our own race to run. And what you need to start doing sometimes, you have to learn, listen. Talked about it this morning. You want to help others to greatness. You want to minister and be a blessing to others. Amen? I hope. But what happens when they reject it? When they don't want your counsel? When they don't want your help? When they don't accept the ministering? When they reject what you have to say? Are you going to get mad at them and yell at them? You know what you better learn to do? You better learn to stay in your own lane. Look, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. That's a race. You're running a race. You watch that in the Olympics, in those track, they go around. Everybody has their own lane. Some guys start ahead of the others because they figured that thing out depending on how wide you have to make your turns. You get that much of a head start to make it even. Because the one thing you're not allowed to do is cross over into somebody else's lane. See? Bible says they that strive for the mastery must strive lawfully. You got to stay in your lane. You have your race to run. And when you get to the end of this thing, what you have to give an account for is your race. Amen? In swimming, what do? They each have a lane. And when they're swimming, they got to stay in their lane. If they cross over into somebody else's lane, foul, penalty, you're out. Get out of the pool. You got to concentrate on your lane first. And sometimes, in an effort to help, if we're not careful, we'll end up crossing over into somebody else's lane. And that just creates problems. You got to run your race. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I don't know how many of you parents have had your kids ever involved in any kind of sporting activity. I think it's good for them to be involved in something like that. Just watch them with it. Careful with it. But we had Ryan in wrestling. We've had him in karate. Now, I used to wrestle in high school. So I know how to wrestle. Where's Ryan? Is he here? Oh, he's back there. Ryan doesn't. But, no, he's come a long way. That's all I'll say about that. No, he's got a lot better, but he goes out there in those matches, and when you're out in a wrestling match, it's you against the opponent. And here I am. He's out there wrestling. You don't want me to be around me when he's out there wrestling. Because you know what I'm doing, huh? And I'm moving all around. I'm trying to wrestle for him. I can't. It's frustrating. There you go. Get the leg. No, don't reach back. Oh, no. And you realize that's all you can do. You can cheer them on. You can coach. You can give training. You can counsel. You can give advice. But man, when they're out there in it, it's them. They got to give an account. They get the trophy. or not? They get rewarded or not? You see, when I stand before the Lord, I give an account for me, not for you. If you decide you're not going to follow me, I don't have to answer for that. You do. You see, I can't compel you to follow me. You can't compel others to follow you. I wish we could. Well, it's a lot easier. But it doesn't work that way. See, there's one body. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But it has many members. All the members aren't the same. Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? What kind of a body would that be? Here's our body, we're all ear. That's not a body. You gotta have eyes, you gotta have ears, you gotta have hair, you gotta have chin, you gotta have throat, you gotta have cheeks, you gotta have a throat and a neck and the shoulders and the chest and the arms, and you gotta have all of it. And they don't always perform the same function. They're not all accomplishing the same thing. They all have a different purpose. And yet the Lord tries to get all that stuff working together for His glory. Amen? In a local church, that's all a local church is. It's just a body. See? And that thing's supposed to be working together. Now, pray for Brother Hart, missionary to Mexico. He's been in our church a while back. I don't know, were we in the other building? I can't remember. We had him in here, Brother Hart. I think we were in the other building. But anyway, he got an infection in his leg when he was over there in Mexico, came back. I think there's been some prayer brought up for him before, but he lost his leg. And so he's got a, what do they call that? Prosthesis. Basically a fake leg on his one leg now. You said they cut off his leg? Yep. Because if they hadn't, he might have died. Now, do you think he was looking forward to having that leg cut off? But he knew it was necessary. See, sometimes you have to reject members so that the body can live. And that's usually determined by the head of the body. Usually how that goes. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And then I'm going to show you something that I believe will help you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily am absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That body is more important than just that one member. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Say he's got cancer. What are we going to do? We got to get rid of it. We got to cut it out. If we don't, he's going to die.
See? He's got gangrene. What are we going to do? We got to cut it off. If we don't cut it off, he's going to die. Those aren't always easy decisions to make. But what way do you think the doctors usually err on? Now let me show you something. See this body, we're a body here. Do you know that every body has an immune system? Do you realize that any living organism, especially your body, do you study it out, that there are things attacking your body constantly, trying to kill it? And you know what your body does? It rejects those things. Every day in your body, there's things going on that are saying, you shouldn't be in this body. Get out. Boom. Boom. All the time, your body's doing that. That's how it lives. That's called your immune system. And your immune system is always working, buddy. Hey, you take that immune... You know what AIDS is? Besides reaping what you sow, AIDS... That disease, what it does is it affects your immune system. It kills your immune system. And so they die from stuff that wouldn't even hurt the normal person. Because their body can't defend against it anymore. I believe a lot of churches got AIDS. Look in Romans chapter 16. Did I already tell you to turn there? No? All right. Romans chapter 16. Now here's the defense that the Lord's given the body, for the body to stay healthy. Now, look with me. Verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's God's immune system for the local church. Now look at that thing. Look at it again. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, pastors, mark them. That's not what it said. That's not what it said. What did it say? Now I beseech you what? Brethren. Are you part of the body? You know how the body protects itself and has an immune system built into it so that it doesn't get infected? You know what the Lord told you to do, brethren? It didn't say, yell at them. It didn't say, fight them. What did it say you're supposed to do? Hello? Mark them and what? Avoid them. Well, we've got some gossip problems in the church. Okay, are you promoting it or avoiding it? Now, when you get to be that person that nobody wants to be around, that's a hint. That's the way this thing's supposed to work. That's the way that God's got this thing set up. What's supposed to happen is when you see someone that's purposely causing divisions and offenses contrary to this book, you know what the Bible says you do? Now, if they never had a sounding board, how could it hurt the church? There would be no way for that thing to get in there and infect the body. That's not the preacher's responsibility, brethren. That's everybody's. Now look back there in the passage in Luke chapter. Now are we okay? Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Look with me back in Luke chapter 9. Verse 49. And John answered, say, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with. He rejected us. He rejected us. And nobody likes to be rejected. I understand that. That's hard when you're out witnessing, you hand a tract, and somebody laughs at you or throws it on the ground or gives it back to you and says, no thanks, has a bad attitude. You know, you go to shake some brother or sister's hand in the church and they don't want to shake your hand. Oh, God bless you. You know. Rejection's never fun. Nobody looks forward to that. But it happens. But let's face it, their whole problem is they're still stuck on themselves.
Yeah.
Come on now. Look at the next verse. Stay with me. Verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, here's John again, saw this. Now who are they rejecting? These fellows here, they're doing more than rejecting them. Who are they rejecting? The Lord Jesus Christ. They're rejecting the Lord. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Well, that is what Elias did, isn't it? They came up that mountain. Elias, you come with us. Get out of here. Boom. Fire come down. Kill him. 50 at a time. Last guy shows up, says, please don't kill me. King sent me. Would you please come? All right. They're still thinking the Old Testament, see? Nope. It's different now. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. I can remember plenty of people there witnessing on the street or just dealing with people, and somebody would reject the Lord and have a bad attitude. And buddy, I just want to just give them a thrashing. Amen? I wouldn't get physical with them, mostly. Hardly at all. But I'd hurt them on purpose with my tongue. I would. They rejected Jesus Christ. Stinking, filthy devil. Amen. Wicked as hell. Rejecting my Savior. And I'm going to let them know about it. And I'll cut them in two with that thing right there. You know what the Lord had to show me? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. That I should not reign over them. And you got to be careful taking that stuff personal. You know, you get out there in the street and you're preaching and somebody comes by and wants to give you the middle finger salute, cuss at you or throw a beer bottle at you, whatever. And it's real easy to get in the flesh and get mad at them and want something bad to happen to them. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like, oh, not me. I just love every... Come on now. Listen, you love Jesus Christ and somebody treats your Savior that way, it's real easy to say, Lord, please, once just give me that ability. You know, like Paul with Elymas the sorcerer, amen? Man, I wish I had that ability. But see, that was all, the Lord did that on purpose. He was showing something there. You remember that story in the book of Acts? Paul's trying to help this other fellow out to get saved, and this sorcerer shows up and wants to mess the whole thing up so this fellow go to hell. And Paul turns around and says, well, you rotten, wicked devil, you're going to be blind for 3 days. And blinds the fellow on the spot. But see, that was all, there was a purpose behind that. You understand that? That fellow was a Jew. Paul's first public miracle was to blind a Jew. Paul didn't know what he was doing. God showed him later. You know what happened after Paul started preaching that gospel? You know what God did to Israel? He blinded him. So there was a reason for that. You understand? But I see that, and sometimes I'm just like, Lord, could I just have that power one time? I'd show him. Amen? Just give me that smite ability, you know. Take that rod, you know. What'd you say? Repent. Come on now. If we had the ability and the power that God did, how many people would be here in the church with you tonight? He said, you know not what spirit you're of. That's not what Jesus came to do. He came to save. He came to redeem. He came to restore. He came to give health. He came to give help. He came to set free. He didn't come to cause harm. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. That's our Savior. Harmless. That's a tall order. You know, that Bible says if you're going to be a pastor, you can't be a striker. That's why he gives the pastor deacons. They don't have that qualification. No. But that's like the hardest one, I think. Because there's been times, just being honest with you, I never have. But man, the devil know how to tempt you in that one, big time. You know what that is? I can fix this in 5 seconds. That's what that is. You know what we got to do? We got to wait in the Lord, and he's going to take 3 years to do it. When I know I could take care of this thing in 5 minutes, if the Lord would let me. There's people right here, buddy, I could fix you in 5 seconds up here at this pulpit right now. If I said some things I knew. I could ruin your life. I won't do it. Okay, everybody goes, whew, man. It wasn't you. Yeah. But you know what we're looking at here? This is the true rejection. Rejecting Jesus Christ. Who would do that? I can't understand it. I can understand people running from him. I can understand that. They're trying to hide. Ah, well. But just flat out rejecting him. It's tough to understand. I don't know. But see, that's what makes us different than the Muslims. See? Oh, you don't want our religion? Fine. You know. That's wrong spirit. They don't have God's spirit. They got another spirit. God's spirit says, no, we ain't going to blow them up. We ain't going to send fire down from heaven on them. Listen, if I got an enemy that's after me, I don't have to worry about anything. I just pray for him. God take care of that for me. God fights my battles. He does pretty good. He does a better job than I do. I found that out. You know how I know Roman Catholics aren't the true church? Those verses right there. Look at verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what spirit you're of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You're talking about the Inquisitions, you're talking about the Dark Ages and all that. What was Roman Catholic Church doing? Is that how they were practicing their religion? No, they were killing everybody that would disagree with them and wouldn't succumb to them. That's why you have to show someone to show them that's not the Church of God. And it's tough. You witness to people and they reject it and you take it personally, or they reject Jesus Christ and it burdens you. And it should. But just make sure you have the right spirit when that happens. That's all. Have the right spirit. Just pray for them. Yeah, but then what if they get mad at me? Then pray for them some more. But what if they yell at me? Then pray for them some more. In front of them. With a smile on your face. Be not overcome of evil. Christian. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You know what Jesus did? This was Jesus' response. Watch it. And they went to another village. That's all the Lord did. Oh, you don't want me here? Okay. See ya. And went somewhere else. Maybe they'll want me here. Be starting up visitation again this week. You're going to go out there, you're going to knock on doors. And it's going to get frustrating sometimes. We don't want any of that around here. And the temptation is going to be, well, I ain't leaving until we get this thing straight. You know what you do? You say, okay, thank you. See you later. And you move on to the next one. That's the danger when you're out there a street preaching. You run across one of these Jehovah's Witnesses or something. They'll waste your whole time out there. Don't waste your time with them. Give them 5 minutes. Tell them how to get saved and then move on. They're just going to be distracting you from what you're supposed to be doing. I'm trying to give you some wisdom. I hope you're listening. What did Jesus say to do? You move on. Look back there at chapter 9, verse 4. Whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, send fire down from heaven and destroy. No. Whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against him. All right, fine. Have your dust back. I ain't going to take nothing from you. I'm moving on. And away you go. That's how it's handled. Do you understand? In Christianity, it's complete liberty. Nobody made me get saved. Wouldn't it be nice if you could make people get saved? I mean, you could check a lot of prayer requests right off that list, couldn't you? You just, amen. Go around with a sawed-off shotgun. Confess or die! get it done. It don't work that way. You can't do that. You can't compel somebody outwardly, carnally, to get saved. It doesn't work. Because even if you did that, it would be the Lord that would have to save them. He's got to deal with their heart. I understand all that. I just know it's so. Peter Cartwright tried that a few times. He'd have them guys down, man. He's a big old fellow. Old Methodist follower John Wesley back there in the 1800s. He'd take those guys and get them in a chokehold and start punching them. Say, you better get saved and confess Christ and don't cause a problem around these parks again. He took it seriously. Amen. But that's not the way. Be nice. It don't work that way. It sure would be nice in the ministry. I think Brother Nate and anybody else that's done any ministry, it sure would be nice if you just preached to people and showed them what the Bible said and then they just would do it. Be nice. Don't happen often, but it'd be nice. You know why? Because you can't make them. If I could make you live for God, I would. But I can't. If I could make you get right, I would. But I can't. All I can do is be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. All I can do is lift up my voice like a trumpet and show God's people their sins and show God's people where they're wrong and where they're right. And try to give them the truth from this book. You're going to make up your mind what you're going to do. For the Son of Man has not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. They're already condemned. They're already going to hell. What are you going to do to them? They're already going to burn for all of eternity. I'll show them. You can't send them to hell number two. How about having a burden for them and praying for them? Yeah, but they're not a nice person like me. Pray for them anyway. Have some grace. You know why they reject it? This is what they try to do. Watch. I'm going to reject Jesus Christ by mentioning the hypocrites in the church. That'll give me an excuse to reject Jesus. Ain't going to work. Guy said, I ain't going to that church. There's hypocrites in that church. The preacher says, well, come on. There's always room for one more. Or, well, I've heard about some of the people in those, the TV preachers, and use them as an excuse why they shouldn't be in church and living for God. Those guys are always after money. Yeah, well, then go somewhere else. Just use it as an excuse. And listen, Christians do the same thing. You hear me? You, I'm talking to you now, Christians that are here tonight, do the same thing. You've decided you don't have to live for God because of the hypocrites. Well, they're not. Why should I? That ain't going to help you when you stand before Christ. Okay? You're not going to be able to use somebody else as the reason why you decided not to obey the Lord. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You're going to give an account to him. Not to me. Not to Brother Nate. Not to your husband or your wife. Mom and dad. You are going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for the things you've done in your body. And just be you and him then. I'm trying to get you to see that. We don't like to be rejected. But, brethren, it's not about you. It's not about me. Amen? That's not what people are rejecting. They're rejecting the truth. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. Look in Isaiah 53. We'll be done. Let's look at a couple verses and we'll be done. Isaiah 53. I mean, this whole time, these guys are all worried. This fellow's rejecting them, and here comes Jesus Christ, and a whole town rejects him. You know what he does? Nothing. Just moves on. Listen, if you're here tonight, and you reject Christ as your Savior, the Lord's not going to lose any sleep over it. He's just going to go on to somebody else that's looking, and he'll just let you go to hell. He will. Not going to force himself on you. He'll call you. He'll invite you. This shouldn't surprise us, brethren. Look, Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Is everybody going to believe it? Some believe the things that were spoken. Some believe not. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Rejected. He came already knowing he'd be rejected. And went anyway. If you're here and you're not saved and you reject Jesus Christ and go to hell, you know what you're going to find out one day? The Lord knew that and died for you anyway. First Samuel 8, we'll be done. Brother Ray, they're rejecting your counsel. They're not heeding the message and talking about you behind your back. What are you going to do? Nothing. They haven't rejected me. They haven't rejected you. Look, 1 Samuel chapter 8. Verse 6, but the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel, he does the right thing. He prayed unto the Lord. Samuel, we don't need you. We don't need your ministry. We're tired of you. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. That's what we ought to worry about. Hey, people can reject me and still go to heaven. They could reject me and still end up good at the judgment seat of Christ. They could reject you, still go to heaven. But they're not going to reject Christ and go to heaven. They're not going to get saved and reject the Lord's will for their life and turn out good at the judgment seat of Christ. One church I went at, they put a sign over the door. And when people would leave after the service, they'd go out the door, and above the door it would say, have you rejected him again? That was the sign over the door when you walked out of the building. Have you rejected him again? He came knowing that some would reject him. We have to just assume that some are going to reject him. We have to assume that all aren't going to be like us and follow us. That doesn't mean we're not going to try to be right and live straight and do it the right way and stand before the Lord one day knowing we did it right, knowing we finished and we finished right. But I'm not going to let all that let them get me out of my lane. Lord said, follow me. All right, Lord, I'm following you. This is where you want me to go? Yep. All right, Lord, I'm going to stay in this lane. This is what you want me to do. I'm going to follow you. Hey, let's go. Let's follow him. Nah, man, you're crazy. I ain't listening to you. How about you? Yeah, sure. Okay. All right, come on. Let's go. And you get who you can along the way to come with you. Oh, you don't want to follow me? No. Wrong spirit. Wrong spirit. All right, that's it. That's the message. I hope the Lord used it somehow to minister to somebody. I don't understand it. But there it is. Praise God. Let's stand. How's that for a conclusion? Don't ever do that. Amen. I teach my preacher's class. You don't conclude that way. But hey, oh well.